New episode of Klein Alley Show is about to begin, but before that can happen, Alley, let's tell the people what they need to know.
You mean about San Bernardino International Airport?
Of course I'm talking about the San Bernardino International Airport. Easy, close, and not LAX.
And parking is always just $5 a day, which means it is El Cheapo approved.
Fly nonstop to Provo, Utah for all the skiing, snowboarding, or wives you can handle.
And of course you can fly into my hometown of San Francisco. San Bernardino International Airport. When airports smell great.
Ta-da-da.
This is the world famous K-Rock.
Oh, hell yeah, welcome to your K-Rock. Good morning, Klein Alley Show. Perhaps your first day listening. Well, you don't even want to be listening. You're just in the back of a rideshare right now, and you're questioning your driver's taste, and what's that weird smell? Well, anyway, I'm Klein. There's Alley.
Hi.
That is DJ Omar Khan right there.
Hello.
You know him as Jake the Nerd.
What's that?
And then in the back, taking those calls, in the room known as the Chicken Coop, you got producer Vanessa and postmaster Johnny. 800-520-1067. If you are caller 20 right now, we add your name to a list. It's a good list. Usually when your name goes on a list, it's never a good thing. Here it is a very good thing because we could send you to Montreal, Canada to see Evanescence. And we give you tickets to see them at the Kia Forum for a show that is coming up on July 18th. So that is in your future. A lot of people are excited now. A lot of people are leaving messages on the goat line for a variety of reasons. And you can hear everyone's just got that summer attitude, which is a much better attitude to have.
Hey, guys. I'm here with my wife at Las Vegas Pride event. This message is for Vanessa. Are you gay or are you straight? I don't know.
That's just a gay couple checking in from Vegas Pride. I don't know why we're not sending Vanessa to all the prides, but if you are at any of the prides happening this month, you can just go ahead and start talking to people and do your best Vanessa impression and send us the audio on the goat line like this fine lesbian couple.
I don't know.
That's Vanessa from the depths of hell.
I really do feel Vanessa has reinvigorated Pride because I have not gone to the Pride celebrations that were happening locally, but it makes me so excited to hear her appearance and to get excited through her about Pride. And I would be happy to continue contributing to her going to every Pride event, not even nationwide, worldwide.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
I don't think my liver can do it, guys.
You can do it, Vanessa.
I don't think
you're,
I can.
You're young. You're fine.
Yeah,
I think my body's saying, girl, you shouldn't drink. You're poisoning your body.
No, no, no. Go against that voice. Go to the louder voice that's saying
is
things.
Is it straight? I don't know.
See?
I mean, this hunts me.
It hunts you?
Yeah, why did...
I freak it.
Do you think Vanessa even knows if it's... Vanessa, is this you or is this someone trying to be you?
I don't know!
Is that the answer or is that the question?
I know that's not me.
That one's not you. But there's so many people doing their Vanessa impressions on the goat line right now.
Omar, do you have the one where she's trying to hit on the bi guy?
Oh, yeah. Let me get
this
that
is the
right
most.
Here.
This is my favorite.
This is the most uncomfortable, weird moment ever. And this was at the end of one of her gay or nay chats. And it's just a nice, friendly reminder that, that Vanessa's bringing the pride back to pride.
Okay, bye. Okay, bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Am I cute or am I not cute?
Oh, baby.
It's okay if I'm not cute.
Yeah. No, you are cute.
Okay, I'm cute.
Now,
after I force you,
now,
thank
part,
you. Okay, I'm not.
The part of the clip that is the best part, actually, sadly, is cut out of what Omar just played because here's what's happening, though, because I heard the whole thing in its entirety. And Vanessa says to this guy at the end of the chat, are you gay or are you straight? And he says bye.
And her response is bye.
Yeah, and so he's answering the question because he obviously identifies as bye. And Vanessa assumes that it's his way of saying, all right, we're done chatting, goodbye. So then when he says bye, that's where Vanessa picks up with her bye. So it's great because it's a total misunderstanding anyway.
But then she still kind of hits on him.
Yeah, which is great. Well, she's got a 50% chance, I guess.
Yeah.
All right, we've stalled long enough, and we say hi now to our 20th caller, which puts us in Chatsworth. Good morning, Allison.
Hey.
Good news
Good
for
morning.
You. Your name is going to the list. You will be seeing Evanescence for sure at the Kia Forum July 18th. And if we call you back on Monday, pack your bags. You're going to see them again in Montreal, Canada. All right?
Awesome. Thanks, guys.
You're very welcome. Thanks for starting your day with us here on K-Rock. This is Papa Roach. And then we will, I'll give you a guess, Allie. It could be any Papa Roach song. What do you want? What do you think it is?
God, anything but Last Resort.
All right, Allie's going to lock in on anything other than Last Resort. Well, once again, Allie, you are wrong.
Cut my eyes.
K-Rock, we are Klein Alley Show. In a moment, going to meet another possible employee of the month for the month of June. People making the news for going above and beyond their job duties. And here's some previous nominees for employees of the month.
The ringleader of a makeshift child fight club.
She was running a daycare, and she turned it into a fight club for children. She was, I believe, nominated, but not the winner of our employee of the month award here at K-Rock.
And everyone needs a side hustle.
Then there was this one recently.
The teacher won't be returning to the classroom in Lee County Public Schools. Police say that Jennifer Jennison showed up to Fort Myers Middle School with a blood alcohol level four times the legal limit.
You know, we do search for employees all over the country and all over the world, but we do have a nominee to bring you from Pasadena, a local employee that we will get into for Employee of the Month in just a moment. But first, I want to say hi to Marcelo, who's been hanging out on the phones this morning at 800-520-1067. What's up, Marcelo?
Hey, I just wanted to throw a person's name in there. Sunday, June 14th, I was at Tower 58 in Newport Beach with my 12-year-old son and one of his friends. We were swimming, we're having a good time. 6-foot waves all of a sudden doubled onto 12-foot waves, pulled me and my son out past the jetty. I swallowed water. I had a kid around my neck. My son had fins on and has done junior guards before. We're trying to get out of this riptide. These two kids came from the shore and got to us so fast, but I was done. I was really, I couldn't even get a breath to tell my son I love him one last time because I was drowning. So I just wanted to say to Mason Graff of Newport Beach, Tower 58, thank you for saving all three of our lives. It was the most terrifying thing I've ever experienced in 56 years. And I just want to nominate him.
Well, so let me get this straight. This past weekend, these waves we've been talking about, these king tides or whatever that have been happening, they took you down, and you thought you were done, game over, and the lifeguards rushed in and saved you.
Yeah, they did. I mean, I lost all. I hit the bottom. I tried to shoot up, you know, because I felt the sand on my feet. I couldn't tell which way was up or down. I was in a tumble dryer just going, and it wasn't only pulling us out, it was pulling us under. You know, my friend's son wasn't an experienced swimmer, so I have a kid around my neck. I'm treading water, and I told him, stay calm, float on your back. You know, this is what you do, and the lifeguards are on their way. But these two young men got out there, and I'm a 200-pound, 6'3" guy, and I got a 100-pound kid on my neck, and, you know, they saved all three of us. And it was incredible. It was terrifying, but incredible what these lifeguards do, and I don't think they get enough credibility for their jobs, man. They are true heroes.
Absolutely, especially because as a lifeguard, most of the time, you're just sitting there looking at the ocean.
That's a lot of whistle twirling.
And a lot, yes. But you have to be ready for something to happen.
Right.
The amount of concentration and patience and, you know, to be able to act in an emergency situation like that is absolutely incredible.
Marcelo, did the guy Mason go mouth to mouth with you or no?
No, it wasn't that bad. I mean, I did throw up some water and stuff, but he was swimming with me and a 100-pound kid. You know, there's 300 pounds this kid is towing. The other lifeguard swam over with my son, weighed, you know, maybe 90 pounds, took the other boy. Then he swam in with two boys, and the other one swam in with me, and we swam in unison. Like, I was more than grateful.
I wasn't talking about CPR. I was talking about out of appreciation.
Oh, well, no. I mean, after we had some drinks, but, no.
All right, fair enough.
What happened.
Congratulations. Thank you. That's a real shout. That guy's actually nominating a local employee of the month who probably does deserve that award. And to all the lifeguards that are out there saving lives on a daily basis, we cannot thank you enough.
And to the bravery to go out there when people are already drowning and I can save these people and not drown myself.
I understand saving hot chicks on the beach. That's why probably most lifeguards get into it.
Woman can't even get in the ocean anymore. She gets rescued right away.
See Marcelo out there. You go. The guy figure it out. Good story, but I don't know if that guy has what it takes to be the employee of the month when we tell you what someone in Pasadena was up to. Here we go.
Employee of the month.
You are the best. Put everybody to the test, but you beat the rest.
Employee of the month.
How do you do it? How do you become the employee of the month?
We go to Pasadena for our nominee for the month of June, Employee of the Month. Here we go.
Shocking newly released video showing a Pasadena police officer being shot by a fellow officer. Tonight, the police chief is calling it a horseplay incident.
Okay, now, there's something great about the word horseplay.
Lifeguard, Schmifeguard. Yeah. Let's talk about this.
This is a cop that accidentally shot another cop during a little horseplay. Just horseplay. Cops playing around with each other.
Fun with guns.
Fun with guns and the Pasadena police force.
Here it is. This is dash cam video from inside the Pasadena police parking garage. Watch again as it all unfolds. You see a patrol car pulling up behind two officers standing by another vehicle. That's when one of those standing officers quickly draws his gun and points it at the officer in the vehicle. After a few seconds, he reholsters the weapon. What you can't see is the chief says the officer in the driver's seat does the same thing, but that officer's gun goes off. The shot goes through the windshield and hits the shoulder of the other officer. This happened in September of last year. The department just releasing that video today. The chief says the officer who was shot has recovered and disciplinary action has been taken.
There you have it. Horseplay leading to employee of the month nominee right there for
what
cop
is
accidentally shooting other cop.
The disciplinary action that is taken.
Hey, don't shoot
target
practice.
Stop that.
Don't shoot the other cop's cop car into his shoulder. I mean, it's unbelievable.
Anyway, get back out there.
Because I'm sure they were playing some sort of they were pretending to pull each other over or whatever they were doing.
I just think it's funny that the stick 'em up, just kidding, joke is still a thing
for
adults.
It. Congratulations, Pasadena police officer nominated employee of the month. But to the real employee of the month, that lifeguard from Huntington Beach, thanks for saving the life of a listener.
Officer Randy Hoppert.
Randy Newman. Now, his name, I heard it was Mason. Mason, I don't forget the names of important lifeguards. Mason.
We all know that about
the lifeguard. We got to take ourselves a quick break. Back in a moment with more show after this. K-Rock. K-Rock Klein Alley Show. When you get bad neighbors, it can really change everything. And I'm not just talking about in your apartment building or in your neighborhood, or maybe you move to a new house. So you don't really, you know about the school district, perhaps. You know about the street you're on, but you don't necessarily know what your neighbors are like next door. Also true on an airplane, right? You may have a long flight cross country, and the person next to you could be a nobody, a ghost. No one shows up. Greatest thing ever. Everyone loves having a no-neighbor situation.
No neighbor's the best neighbor, except for in a house situation, because an abandoned house can be a real
Well, Jake said the theory situation. That living next to a cemetery is a great move, and everyone kind of looks at that like, I would never want to do that because it's weird and haunted and creepy that you're constantly, you're basically your backyard's full of dead people.
Yeah, but it's always quiet.
Always quiet until it's not, and then you're freaked the F out because there's a lot of people there. I am convinced now. And I used to think that I was a good neighbor for a variety of reasons, primarily because keep to myself.
Kill your neighbor's plants? Didn't you steal a desk from your other neighbor?
Yeah, you stole a desk from your neighbor.
Okay, first of all, they left it outside. I didn't realize they were in the process of moving. I thought it was a take a desk situation. But then when I saw the sign go,
a desk.
You're right. I didn't want it for me, but I thought I could grab it and use it maybe.
This will make me look smart.
So,
and didn't you also let a homeless man just camp out in his van, like right down the street?
Well, the homeless man, I let him park his van in front of my house for a while because,
You don't do that.
Well, I was going to rat him out, and then when I thought he was dead in there, I called the authorities, but it was just a shoe.
Terrible. So, weren't you supposed to, like, neighborhood watch, and you didn't, like, fell asleep?
Oh, that's right.
Ah, good point, Jake. Yes.
I was.
Your watch ended when it began.
I did miss my neighborhood watch, and some break-ins happened during that time, supposedly. But aside of all of these examples you're giving,
I think you're a pretty good neighbor.
I'm a pretty good neighbor. But now I'm rethinking that for the following reason. Over the past 2 months, I have had neighbors on both sides of me move, and one neighbor across the street from me die.
Oh.
And now
I'm going to become a ghost.
I have realized that yesterday, as I saw moving trucks, I don't get any sort of there's no conversation. I would think you would say something along, I'm not friendly, but friendly enough that you're walking the dog and you wave or, something's out there. There's enough waves back and forth. You would think they would say something along the lines of, hey, just so you know, we're moving. And when you see the moving trucks pull up, you just start going, I guess we're losing another one. Now, the first neighbor that moved about 2 months ago didn't know they were moving until they started packing their house up. And they said, we are moving and we're moving out of state. We've had enough California and we're moving to Tennessee or something.
Maybe they're moving because of the crime in your area.
So
I mean, everyone's getting robbed,
fine.
Right?
Oh, so I go, all right, well, they're out. No big
thing. And then you're also robbing them.
Right. The woman, I'm not robbing them. I'm just not doing my part during the neighborhood watch. So the robberies happened. The person who died, she was an old lady, lived by herself. And I can't take responsibility for that. But she did live directly across the street from me, and she died.
Natural causes?
She seemed old. She was one of these old people that would constantly be outside sweeping leaves up.
she wasn't like, oh my God, I have to have another conversation with this weirdo with the dog. I'm going to smother myself with a pillow.
Maybe she did that after. I did try because no one else really talked to her because she seemed lonely. So I would be the one person that would attempt to engage her in conversation. So maybe she decided to end it. I don't know.
Oh man, maybe she didn't like you though.
Yesterday, I'm convinced now that I am the bad neighbor because they are moving. And when I said, oh, you guys are moving. And they said, yeah. And I said, oh, yeah, where to? And they said, down the street.
Oh, wow. They're just trying to get away from you.
They are moving. They're going through all of the hassle of moving.
Didn't you do that, though? Didn't you move, like, 1 mile away from where you lived?
No, but I'm not talking about 1 mile away. I'm talking about, like, they pointed to where they're moving, and it's just, like, on the, like, it's a
few. It's on the same exact street?
Same street, just further down, not next to me.
Wow. Yeah, but if they're renting, it's a better house. Maybe it has a pool or something.
Listen, I got to tell Omar, one time coincidence, two times maybe coincidence, three times now, you've neighbors on the left and the right and in front. All out.
I think it's your neck, dude. I think you look menacing now. Yeah.
You're absorbing the energy of the whole neighborhood.
Yeah, dude.
You're sucking the life out of that woman.
You're a menace. You're menacing.
It's not the neck at all. And I know what you're thinking. Oh, they ran out of room because my neck is now encroaching on their property lines as well. That is not what is happening. And I just feel like at some point, don't you start going.
Maybe are you thinking about the things that you do that are annoying as a neighbor? Like, do you have hobbies?
I do want to say to this neighbor that's in the process of now moving to go down the street, I do want to say, is it us? Because I think you should know that. Like, do I walk around in my house naked? Yeah.
Can they see that?
I don't have like curtains up and stuff. So,
wait, is there like a fence that separates you, or they could see from your window?
No, they could see probably, but I don't think that they.
When are you doing this?
As soon as he gets home, he takes his pants off.
I take my pants off when I get home. My kids are at school
still. Oh, you're still wearing underwear? Oh, okay.
Yeah, sometimes I take the underwear off depending on how hot it is. And then at night, usually after I take a shower, I walk around naked for a little bit until my wife gags.
And that's when I know it's time for bed.
that's when you
have a dog.
Yeah, and he does.
Your dog is a yappy dog.
He's not yappy.
Dude, every time I call you, he's barking.
He does get set off by things like trash trucks and people and leaves.
Anytime you get audio from your house, the dog's barking.
Yeah, so that could be it as well. There's things, but as someone who's lived next to bad neighbors, the last thing I ever want to do is be in the category of being a bad neighbor.
So they're still in the process of moving. They haven't moved yet. They're still there.
But they're still there, yes, but they are.
Yeah, I think it's a great idea. You should, interview them and figure out if something happened and record it.
If you can hear it over the dog barking.
Which will be impossible. I'll ask, yesterday I was shocked when I pulled up and those moving trucks were there.
It'd be like those one interviews. Like, what is those interviews after you leave a job? You exit interviews.
The exit interviews.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, the part.
Yeah, how good of a neighbor was I? That's a great thing.
Yeah, and also now I run the risk, now that that house is going to be vacated, then I run the risk now of potentially new bad neighbors come in.
You have to buy it.
Buy all the houses you don't have neighbors.
If only that was an option.
626 has a great theory. They probably heard your snoring from a mile away. You were keeping neighborhood up all night long.
Is that what it is?
And they're like, he got a nose job. I think maybe it's going to stop, honey. And then he doesn't. Or maybe they're all moving because they're like, this neighbor with the thick neck's probably going to help.
That's probably what it is.
He's probably going to help us move.
We got it. Yeah. Oh, that guy likes to lift things. Let's just move.
Go bench press some couches today.
Free help right there. We get into some Father's Day card remixes next on K-Rock. Just a reminder that Father's Day is on Sunday, so if you feel like you should send cards to your dad and he does not live in Southern California, it's probably already too late, to be honest. Probably won't get them. But the good news is, speak on behalf of dads everywhere, we don't care about cards. I mean, I think moms care more about cards. I think cards are a giant waste of time, giant waste of money.
I care about homemade cards. My kids make my cards.
They still make them.
Yeah, they're awesome.
I made my dad a homemade card like 5 years ago, and that's all he ever asks for.
Yeah, it's great.
A homemade card as an adult?
Yeah, I made one as a joke. I was like, oh, this will be funny because I was like broke.
Did you trace your hand?
No, I made like a pop-up card. It had like, you know, you opened it and things popped out, and I spent real time on it, and he still talks about that card.
Is there a check in there, a gift card or something?
There was nothing.
Nothing, just that.
And he's like, just make me one of your cards again, honey.
Oh, man.
I was like, no way, I'll just buy one.
Get him on the lie detector test. There's no way he liked that thing.
He does.
But, okay, so anyway, maybe some dads are sentimental and they like the idea of a homemade card, but for the most part, the stuff they're selling at Walgreens or CVS or whatever, there's an obligation to buy them because you feel like, let's get something in the mail, and let's be honest, most dads have been whittled down to about four different hobbies. It includes fixing stuff, golf. I just realized yesterday that I've been given the same card 4 years in a row, and it's been purchased every time, and it's just got a toilet on the front of it, which is sad.
Oh, that's funny.
That my family thinks the only hobby I have is going to the bathroom.
But that's the joke, right, is that you're always in the bathroom?
Yeah, but it's not a joke. It's the reality. It's the only place I get to myself. It's my sanctuary.
Isn't it sad that they look at a wall of cards, and that's the only one they think can relate to you?
Yeah. I know.
Fishing is another one. Grilling is another one.
And I like grilling and all that. I don't fish ever, but I mean, it'd be fun if 1 year they didn't look at the toilet and go, get that one again. Another year of him on the toilet.
I'm also amazed the same card is available every single
same
year.
Same card.
I'm surprised I haven't got that card.
Yeah, Jake should get that every day of the year. So it's time for us to break down what we believe to be some of the least funny cards you could spend money on. They aren't cheap anymore. Some of these cards are all over $10 now.
What?
And would think that the joke would at least be funny. And the part that is so effing frustrating is these things are probably making, I would imagine, hundreds of thousands of dollars per card, some of these designs. They've been approved, printed, sold nationwide, and still we can't get over how bad the jokes are. So we call this Greeting Card Remix, and here's the first one that we will share with you. It is a, I'll describe what's on the card. You'd have to guess the terrible joke on the inside. It's a giant fish that is jumping out of a lake. And it said, when it comes to being a dad, that's what it says on the front of the card. So once again, it's a giant fish, green fish. I want to say maybe a bass, if I had to guess what type of fish that is, but I don't really know. Could be a trout, not really sure.
It's a horrible picture.
And it's got a googly eye. I should point out that as well. The fish has a googly eye. And it says, when it comes to being a dad, then you open it up, and this is where you get the zinger that you paid $9 for.
Okay. I think it's going to say, when it comes to being a dad, you're a real good one.
Oh, they're making a real joke. That's pretty bad.
Yeah, pretty of all the fish joke. Puns you can make, real. Like, right, I'm going to make a joke about the rod.
When it comes to being a dad, boring. You've got the thickest rod in town. That's something I would like to get that card.
Okay.
But you say real. It's going to be a real joke.
Yeah.
Omar, this is once again big fish jumping out of a lake.
Sure.
When it comes to being a dad, and we've already decided dad jokes are the lowest level of jokes. Greeting card jokes are almost lower than that. So the combination of the two is just evil.
What's the setup again?
It's a fish jumping out of a lake, and it's a big green fish, and it says, when it comes to being a dad,
you deserve to catch a starfish tonight.
Ew.
Oh, like a butt sex joke.
Yeah.
That's funny.
See, this is dads. Take a note. The dads love this stuff.
And by the way, Jake got all upset because he goes, starfishes aren't in lakes.
Oh, God.
Gets all caught up in
Then you can add, just kidding, starfish aren't in lakes.
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense at all. Forget about the butt stuff. These aren't even in lakes. All right. Jake, you've ruined that card. What do you think it says, Jake, when it comes to being a dad?
You're the best.
Ew, that one's so bad.
You're the best.
You're the best.
See, I thought
and I'm a bastard.
One of those lame-ass ones.
Like, hope you get a starfish.
When it comes to being a dad, you take the bait, or one of those stupid ones.
Yes.
You're a you're a master baiter, maybe one of those.
Yeah, master bait joke would be good.
But when you open up this card, and this is what you pay the $9 for, it says, when it comes to being a dad, you totally kick bass. Happy Father's.
Is it really what it says?
Yes.
I like you're the bass.
Yes, that's really what it says. You totally kick bass. Happy Father's Day.
You're the bass. It's so better.
Just animal abuse, really.
Yeah. Well, anyway, that's that one you can buy. We move on to the next one now.
And now we all feel sad.
And this one is maybe my least favorite joke so far. It's just got a mug of beer.
On the front of the car. Men love beer.
And the mug of beer looks like it has like a white afro, but it's just the foam.
Uh-huh.
And it's got a smiley face because it's a human. Yeah, you got to humanize the thing. So it's a mug of beer,
and
a smiley face, happy beer. And then it has a message when you open it up. Happy Father's Day on the front, but then you open it up and there's the message in there. So what is the hilarious pun that you get with the giant mug of happy beer on the front?
Unlike this beer, you can never have too much head.
Great. Great.
Happy Father's Day.
Very true.
Very strange. That's true and accurate.
Strange card to get from a child, but maybe,
love you, Dad.
Maybe that's one of those wives to husband cards or something like
totally.
That.
Totally.
All right. Omar, once again, it's just a big mug of beer on the front. And what's the funny joke there that people are paying $6.95 for?
You open it up, and there's a picture of like some fit dude with a six-pack, but he's holding a six-pack of beer, and it says something. Here's a six-pack for you, because this is the only way you're going to get
one. Right.
You know, yeah, like, ah, joke. You dig on dad.
Yeah, dad's all fat.
Right.
Fat dad joke, fat yeah, shame, love yeah. you.
Yeah, dad's going to have an early death because of his heart condition. Ah. All right, Jake, what is it?
I hope he gets some starfish tonight.
Oh, that's funny.
Right. That's not right.
It's not?
This one's pretty bad, and it is maybe the worst, because with beer, there's so many, you know, you could write, you could say...
You're the beerst?
You're the beerst? Could say that. Could say that.
You could have,
like, you know, a DUI, but then the DUI is crossed out, and a DAD is written in there.
Oh, yeah, that'd be cute.
But instead, it says, to a... This is pretty bad, and I swear to you, this is a card you could buy. To a beerliant dad...
Oh, my God, it's even worse than what I came up with.
They turned the word beer into brilliant, and they gave us to a beerliant dad.
Wow.
Which now I can't, such a stretch there.
Can't tell if that's an insult or a compliment.
Starfish was better.
That's true. I think anything we came up with was better than that.
And finally, we wrap it up here. These are all cards you could actually buy for Father's Day. As a dad, I would not want to receive any of these. This one is just a plain, boring brown card. It looks like a brown paper bag from a grocery store. And it says on it in big letters on the front, dads are like dogs. Dot, dot, dot.
Dads are like dogs.
And then you open it up, and that's where they zing you with the hilarious jokes.
Dads are like dogs. They all need to be rescued.
Okay, Allie believes it's a rescue joke. Omar, dads are like dogs.
I think it's going to be another one that does a little digging on dad, and it's going to say, you all smell, but we still rough you.
Oh, damn.
Okay, so insult followed by terrible pun.
Yeah.
That does seem to be the formula for dads.
It does seem like a stinky comparison is going to be made.
Let's knock him down a peg.
Yeah.
And then let's...
You're stinking, you fart. But, you love know, you.
Right. You're not too far.
And the dad's like, yeah, dude.
Yeah,
you're not too far off. Jake, right? What do you think it says? Dads are like dogs.
They just want a bone.
Oh, I like that.
It's a great card, dude. Sadly... This is what it says, and I'm going to read you verbatim what the inside of this card says. Dads are like dogs. Then you open it up. They're both hairy, inhale their food, and fart. They
Oh, my God. There's more?
That's only part one.
They're both hairy, inhale their food, and fart?
They're both hairy, inhale their food, and fart. They love to play catch, are afraid of the vacuum.
Oh, my God.
Fall asleep anywhere and snore.
Ew.
Like, dad's afraid of the vacuum.
They don't want to clean. It's an anti-clean joke.
It's a mom job. It's like a sexist joke, kind of.
Yeah,
It continues.
So is this every car just bashing the dad?
It continues. They guard the house and they give unconditional love. Happy Father's Day.
This feels negative. And unconditional love.
So there you have it. Those are just some of the cards you could be buying this year for Father's Day.
And they love to hump and sleep.
We got to take a quick break. When we get back, we will do something else. Your ADD News
we'll
is next.
Something else.
And no more of this after this.
Grab your Adderall. It's time for ADD News.
Here's your daily exciting update on the World Cup. All the games yesterday resulted in ties.
Yay, ties.
The game at SoFi between Iran and New Zealand was the highest scoring game yesterday at 2-2. The lowest scoring game was between Spain and Cabo Verde, which ended in nothing. Nil-nil, as they like to say in soccer. So we turn to the most exciting part of the World Cup again, the fans that are visiting from other countries. And my early favorite is the fans from Japan, because not only are they giving us gold like this every single day.
Big beef.
Get that lady beef. Some big beef.
Big beef.
Yeah, hey.
And moments like this.
I cannot speak English, but, okay. But I'm excited!
I love it! Yeah, baby!
Japan!
But it was Vanessa in West Hollywood.
We should set that guy up with Vanessa when you find that guy.
Two of them.
Just scream at each other.
Yell at each other.
Imagine watching Columbia.
What was that? I don't know. Let's order food.
Great. great.
But they are also, when they show up and go to games, they are cleaning the stadiums after the matches. I think this is amazing.
When the game is over, win or lose, or as seen here yesterday after a tie with the Netherlands, they use those blue bags to clean up the stadium, bottle by bottle, bagging trash until it's gone.
It's like respect for everything, respect for the players, supporters, and also for the stadium. So we don't want to make a mess and then leave it.
We don't want to make a mess and then leave it, which
That's
is the
American
way.
That's right.
That's
we
right.
make messes, we leave it, and then we
Hells
brawl.
Yeah.
We brawl in the parking lot.
Leave your stuff in Japan, Japan.
Whether it's an airplane or a stadium or an arena, anywhere we can leave trash.
Yeah, people always talk about how clean everything feels in other countries a lot of times. They'll say things like, and that's not necessarily true for every country, but they'll visit and they'll post videos. They'll be like, you won't believe what the airport bathroom was like in, you know, insert Japan here
or
whatever.
Well, I think in Singapore and places like that, you have to clean up or... I think you get like
cut off your finger.
Yeah,
you get caned.
Yeah. I think you get caned if you like leave gum on the side of the road.
So yeah, and then you come here and things are, you know, sometimes
gum wall in some cities.
Yeah, and gum walls. One of our greatest attractions.
Yeah, I went to Seattle. They had a wall full of gum.
And then I'm gonna stick this empty soda can on the gum, and then put more gum on it, and then bury it in more gum.
Yeah, keep in mind, art is us taping a banana to a wall with duct tape. That's how we roll.
Well, apparently Japan has been doing this after games since the 90s. So it's like even the players in the locker room, they bring their own recycling and they fill everything, and they even leave thank you notes in the locker room before they leave the game. And this is also something that Shohei Ohtani does. Doesn't he thank all the staff and he fills water cups for his fellow players? It's like
they're hiding something.
It's a respect thing.
There's no way they can be that nice, right?
Exactly.
There's something going on there.
The hentai.
Yeah. It's not right.
Yeah.
You freaks. All right, here's
I think it's great. I know, as much as we badmouth this culture, it's nice that someone's cleaning around here.
It's a new wedding trend that is sure to be a waste of money. Brides are hiring witches to perform spells that ensure their wedding day goes over well. Usually these spells are from Etsy witches, and they can run anywhere from $10 to $50. Most of them are weather spells before the wedding, so they would basically put a spell on and say, hey, it's going to be good weather, there's not going to be any rain, and they can improve the weather forecast just through a spell. Also, to make sure that nothing else bad happens on the wedding day, but Witch Talk and witches on Etsy are doing gangbusters right now, making
a lot
of money.
How much per spell are they charging there?
So it's around $10 and $50.
Omar, couldn't you just add
that's
that?
It.
Add that to your DJ package?
Allie, are you willing to be my witch? I mean, I think you could pull
sure.
that off.
No problem.
I regret that decision instantly.
What kind of money back?
What,
is there
no
a guarantee?
Trouble.
If you pay a witch to put a spell on the weather and then it rains anyway.
So you get your money back? No.
So then what's the spell's no good?
Well, they have a success rate that they can share.
That they can make up.
That they can say it always works.
Right. Okay.
Well, I remember
Southern California that doesn't rain.
Yeah, that's true. But I remember the night before our wedding, I talked to the guy that was running the venue, and they said there's a 50% chance of rain. Do you want to spend the extra $500 on a rain tent or not?
Oh,
and I was like,
he didn't know who he was talking to.
I was like, you know, I don't know. I don't live here. What does your gut say? He said, my gut says you're going to be fine. And it rained, and everybody had to carry all the tables into another area in a gazebo, and everyone had to be shoved into one small area for dinner because no one else had, because there was no rain tent.
So glad I skipped it.
Ah! You missed a lot of great stuff. There have been many tragic things happening in the skies in the last 48 hours. You had the bungee jump accident with that woman in Brazil. You had the skydiving plane that went down, the helicopter crash with Oliver Tree. And then yesterday, a B-52 plane went down and killed 8 people. So I just wanted to bring some fun things that are happening in the sky when no one dies. And this is just a good old-fashioned mystery. If you remember, a while back, there was a jetpack man.
Oh,
that was being
man.
Seen LAX. Around LAX. He's back.
No. 21 just had a potential skydiver at 4,000 feet.
What was
that? At San 741, we just had somebody cross above us around 4,000 feet in a wingsuit.
Are you serious?
In a wingsuit.
Hey,
American 2041, did you copy that?
We did. We're looking for him.
Delta 895 and Southwest 4882 for you guys straight in.
And they said, basically...
This sounds like most of the calls that Johnny screens for our show.
No, they
got good quality. Pick up line 3.
No
they
wonder
sound great.
These, like, accidents keep happening. I bet no one can understand each other.
Yeah.
GTA 6 came out early. That's exactly what happened.
The jetpack man is back. So we have yet another sighting around LAX. Will he be seen again? Who is it? Some people call him a winged man. Some people call him a jetpack man.
I thought last time they were pretty sure jetpack man was just a mannequin with a drone attached to him. That was the theory that was going around.
That was one of the theories. I don't think they proved anything.
Huh. Well, listen, we salute you, Jetpack Man, and we welcome you back to the friendly skies here in Southern California as we get into a brand new hour of the show and perhaps the greatest hour of your life next on KROQ. Good morning.